Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. Mark, ana endelea ku elewa, the gospel of the kingdom. He's telling us about God's kingdom. What is the kingdom really? Do you really know? And he's telling us who is the king in God's kingdom. What does it mean, really, to follow Jesus? The answers are surprising. The answers are not what people expect. He's showing us what real faith is like. We saw the woman from Syrophoenicia and the man down in Decapolis. And they taught us about faith. They showed us strong faith, and they showed us weak faith. And they're asking us, what kind of faith do you have? Is it the real thing? Have you been given a counterfeit? Well, let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3 first. In these verses, we see Jesus having compassion on the people. We're still in Decapolis, which was mentioned in verse 31. This is an area where there are many Gentiles. There are some Jews there, but many Gentiles. And Jesus has been teaching them. Verse 2 tells us, been there for 3 days. He's been ministering to them. A large crowd, it says, verse 1. So these people have been away from their place of work. They've been away from their homes. Verse 3 says, for some of them a long distance. But they have spiritual hunger. They're hungry for the word of God. And so they've been willing to close their shops for some time, to be away and to be learning. Isn't that a rebuke to us sometimes? A rebuke surely to many of us. But sometimes we seem to find it difficult even to come and worship our Maker, our Saviour, just for an hour or two on His day. And here were people, and we'll find that their faith was often faulty. And yet, they were so hungry, they so desired to know God, that they followed Him for these 3 days. Well, now that they'd been with Him this time, they were without food now, they'd used up whatever they had, and it was a long distance back home, and Jesus saw them in that condition. He said, verse 2, I have compassion, I have pity, I feel for their need. And it's a very simple teaching, but a very comforting one. Jesus has compassion. Will you say, I have no friend who cares for me. My family, they don't care for me. I have no person who is concerned for my needs. And yet the scripture tells you that Jesu Christum wana la mungu. He has compassion. He cares. He considered their need and he spoke about it. And he wanted to meet it. And in particular, here it was the needs of their bodies. The journey was long. They had no food. If they went, some of them would be falling down and not making it. Jesus cares for all the needs of his people. And here it's the bodily needs. He didn't just say, well, I'm just a teacher. Send these people home. Let that be their problem. And he didn't say, well, I'm concerned with the kingdom of God, and if they starve, not my problem. But true compassion has to look at all the needs. There was real need and real pain here. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, one of the prayers in that prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus, when he made us body and soul. Both have needs. And Jesus cares for both. But these bodily needs, they come in their place. As we look at Jesus, we can see great wisdom, great understanding. Remember that Jesus also taught that first we seek for the kingdom of God. Katika uombe la buana, pana uombe hi, give us this day our daily bread, lakini inakuja badaye, the other prayers. Hallowed be your name, O God. May your kingdom come, our God. And here is Jesus teaching the people for 3 days. And his concern is not that they're going to miss out on a great feast at the end of it. It's not then that they need to be fed with the nyama choma. No, when he feeds them, it's some bread and a few small fish. It's basic and simple food to keep them alive, to make sure they don't fall over before they arrive home. And in our country, in our time, people are running and spending all their time to feed the body, to pay the rent. And yet, the kingdom of God and the feeding of the soul comes last, and it comes afterwards. It's painful for me as a pastor to stand here on Sunday and look round and think, how many of us are here? How many of us are not here? And to know that there are some brethren each week who didn't come because 7 days were needed to look after the body and God couldn't be trusted. We couldn't trust God to give him one day for the soul and to worship him. But because the body must be fed, some of the brethren must be at the place of work 7 days. Jesus cares for all our needs. He knows that we need to be fed and that we need a place to sleep in the evening. He knows these things and we can trust him with them. But if we insist that the bodily needs come first, 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 then we're far from the thinking of the kingdom of God. We must put each need in its place. Jesus said another time, don't fear man who can kill the body. Fear God who, after he's killed the body, can then throw it and the soul into hell. Now, one day your body will go to the grave. But then in your soul you must stand before God for judgment to enter into heaven or to be sent away under his wrath. You're not only a body, you're a soul. And your soul is by far the more important part of you. Your body can be ill, can rot and can die, but then you can enter glory. Or you can live like a king in this life, and then your soul can go to hell. So let's remember these two things. Jesus cares for us. He cares for all of us. But we must make sure that we are seeking first his kingdom and not just thinking about the things of this life. Let's look now at verse 4, Mstaria Une. Here we see something else to make us somewhat sad. Wanafunzi hapa tunaona tena. How slow they are to learn. His disciples answered, Where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? Je, unajua, majibu, qua maswali hi? You know the answer? Where can they get bread in this remote place? You know, labda unakumbuka, kitu kimoja, hapa? Just back in Mark chapter 6, there was the feeding of the 5,000. And it's so familiar. Then they were out in a remote place. Then Jesus had been teaching them a long time. And they'd gone a long time without food. And then it seemed that nobody had brought enough food with them to last. And then again, Jesus was challenging his disciples. These people need food. What can be done? Then he said, you find them something to eat. And now he says, we're going to feed them. But they say, it's a remote place. How can it be done to feed them? it seems they haven't learnt. Ukiona milango yasita na mistari hamsini na ambili husema. They had not understood about the loaves. Their heart was hardened. And this isn't the first time. And it's not the first time that they've been tested again. Do you remember when they were on the lake and there was the storm? Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And they were so afraid, they woke him up and said, "Lord, don't you care? We're going to die." But then later, another time, Jesus sends them out in the boat on the lake. He's not there that time. And the storm comes up. And they're so afraid. Their faith seems so weak. And here it is again. They've seen Jesus provide before. Can Jesus provide again this time? They don't seem to know where the answer is. If you are a Christian, you will be tested again and again. And what a grief these disciples must have been so often to their Lord. Do you know they're in the third year of being with him now? This isn't the beginning. This is the third year. And still, they don't seem to know where the answer is. They're looking around and not looking at Jesus, because that's where the answer is. So slow. And so there's a warning to us, isn't there? It's possible to be a real, true disciple of Jesus, like 11 of these 12 were, Judas being a child of the devil. It's possible to be a real, true disciple of Jesus, and yet your progress to be so slow, because you haven't thought, you haven't remembered, you haven't looked back, you haven't said, "What has the Lord done for me? What did Jesus do for me?" You haven't done those things, and so the test comes and you go the same way as before. And you're a grief to your brethren who are looking for you to grow. You're a grief to your pastors who are praying for you and teaching you. And you're a grief to your Saviour who bled and died for you. Well, this verse does teach us also to be patient, that true believers can be this cause of grief, can be so slow. Those of us who are trying to minister to others, you're trying to teach your children, you're trying to teach your wife, you're trying to share the word of God with your neighbours, you're trying to evangelise at work, and it seems nothing's happening. They're just going the same way. Be patient. Press on. Jesus did not say, "Tosha sasa, you know, let's just finish this. Let's find some other disciples. Let's give up on these ones." No. These disciples, they became the men who preached the gospel to the nations. They became the leaders of the church when Jesus had left them and gone to heaven. They became the Peter and the James and the John, who we see boldly preaching, teaching others. So let us be patient when we see slow progress. Let's not say of a person that there's no life at all in them until we've waited longer. But this test for them is a little different. The tests that God gives you, they will get larger. This is mostly amongst Gentiles now. The feeding of the 5,000, they were Jews. But now we've gone further out of the land, and it's a part of the world. There are some Jews settling there, but there's mostly Gentiles. Perhaps the disciples' problem is they haven't understood that Jesus is not limited to the land, or he's not limited to the Jews. Well, they ought to know that. There's the woman of Syrophoenicia last week. But perhaps the thing, there's so many people here. Jesus cannot have this compassion on these Gentile, non-Jewish people. But Jesus is the Saviour of the world. The same miracle he did with the Jews, he'll do later with the Gentiles. The all peoples, Europeans, Africans, All tribes, Kikuyus, Luos, Kambas, Kisi, all of them. Jesus is the Savior for all. And that's a lesson they needed to learn. Is He your Savior? Have you understood that Jesus came for the whole world, to take a people from the whole world? Are you like these disciples? Are you pressing on? Are you trying to use your gifts? And there's Sakia, Asubuihi, Ndugu Anaftali, Amisema, Kwamba, Tuna, Taka, Walimu, Kwa Shuleni, Kwa Watoto. Is that your gift? Are you good with children? Do you know how to teach them? Or do you have a desire to teach them? And you want to know how to teach them? But whatever your gift is, are you trying to use it to make progress so that you're not in the same place, and when the trials come, you fall before them every time? Sasa tu one mstari tano mpaka tisa. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, this is very familiar, these verses. Very similar to the feeding of the 5,000. But it's here in Scripture again, so let's learn the lesson again. Jesus shows His power. He reveals Himself as the Son of God. Who made loaves and fishes? Who created them? Jesus did. The Gospel of John says nothing was ever made except what He made. So as 7 loaves come through His hands and become enough now to feed 4,000 men, women and children, and as those fish, those few small fish, verse 7, come through His hands and feed all those people, it's a clear sign that God was amongst us. Who can do this apart from the Creator? When Moses in the desert was used by God to feed the Israelites, when the manna came from heaven at the time of the Exodus, it didn't go through Moses' hands. That would not be appropriate. That sign would point too much to Moses. No, Moses led the people in their prayers to God, and it came down from heaven. But now, Jesus Himself has come down from heaven. So He doesn't look up to heaven for bread to start coming down. No, it goes through His hands to teach you it's Jesus Himself. He's not just another prophet or teacher. He is Himself the truth. He is Himself the life giver. So it comes from Him. Verse 8, the people ate and were satisfied. The food is a sign of the spiritual truth. If you feed on Jesus, you will be satisfied. What are you looking for in life? You ought to look for this, that you can know God, and you can be known by God, that you can walk with God, that God can teach you how to be content in every circumstance of life, that God can give you the assurance that you'll be with Him forever, that God can give you strength and comfort, that God can fill your soul with joy, whatever trials you have in this life. That's what you ought to desire. And if you come to Jesus looking for that, you can eat and be satisfied. You ought to desire to know how your sins can be forgiven, how you can have peace with God, how an angry God who hates your sins and hates sinners, how He can smile on you again. Well, come to Jesus and be satisfied. Jesus gives us the great provision, the great feast. Do you know where that feast is? It's at Calvary, where He died on the cross. If thousands and millions of people should all believe in Jesus, they'll find all they need there. You never need to bring something to God to make Him pleased with you, because Jesus brought Himself when He died on the cross. And if you feed on Jesus' death and resurrection for your salvation, it'll be enough. When these 4,000 men and the women and the children Verse 9 were fed. And verse 8 tells us there were 7 basketfuls of broken pieces. Started with 7 loaves, ended with 7 containers full of the leftovers. There's enough in the death of Jesus to take away your sin, to bring you peace with God now and forever. And there's much, much more than enough. That's the message. That's what it's telling you. Trust in Jesus. Don't start leaving the path and looking for some other way of blessing. Trust in Jesus. That's the message. So you see, Jesus has the compassion and he has the power as well. He has both. He's willing and he's able. Have you been to him? That's the only question. Everybody who was there was fed by him. Only the people who didn't go who weren't fed. If there was somebody here and he said, there's no food here, there's no loaves, there's no fishes. Well, I've seen a few loaves, but look, too many people will never get fed. Hey, Turudi and Nyambani Sasa, there's no need to stay here. Those people, they didn't get fed if they said that. You won't be forgiven unless you come to Jesus, unless you trust in his death. That's the only question really, because he's willing and he's able. Have you been to him? Have you fed upon him? So now look at verses 10, 11, 12 and 13. Sasa wa farisayo walikuja na walianza kuulize maswali. It's verse 11. And look at the word that Mark uses there. A test. Or a tempting. The word can be translated. They asked him for a sign from heaven. Jesus, you're giving this teaching. Show us some sign to prove it. A sign from heaven. And yet, have they not seen many signs? Has there not been, just now, a great sign? They've been in the synagogue when they've seen him heal the man with the withered hand. They've seen demons cast out. They've seen this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. So many signs. They were there. Pharisees were there on the day when the man came down from through the roof who was lame. And Jesus said, get up and walk. So many signs. But never quite enough. Nothing will ever be enough if you have a hard heart of unbelief. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, I need to hear something more. I need to see something more. But perhaps the real reason is you don't want to believe. Perhaps you're like one of the Pharisees and you're just trying to put God to the test. And you're setting up your own conditions. And you're saying, God, I'll follow you if you do this for me. God, I'll follow you if you do that. And yet what God would say is, I've shown you so much. You've heard so much truth. And you know it's truth. And you know people in the church whose lives have changed. And who you can trust. And who will show you love. And you've seen enough. But nothing is ever enough for proud unbelief. We see in these verses that Jesus sends away the proud. Look at verse 12. He sighs. He says, why are you asking? And he says, there'll be no sign. And then he leaves them. Verse 13, he gets into the boat and he goes to the other side. He departs from them. The Bible says that God dwells with the humble. It says the proud he knows from far off. But he dwells with the lowly and with the humble. If you want to know God, if you want to know the truth, you have to get down lower. If you want to understand the ways of God, if you want to grow in understanding the ways of God, there's only one way, says the Bible. And that way is down. As soon as you start saying, I'll follow God if he does this, if he does that, then God says, fine, You don't have to know me. As soon as you start saying, this is what God has to do before I'll obey him, God says, fine, don't obey me. Go your way. See what happens to you. And this verse is a great warning. It's telling us there may come a time when God says, enough. Sasa tu me maliza. These Pharisees before Jesus did show them signs. This is, as I said, now the third year of Jesus' ministry. And for much time, he had talked to them, had warned them, had shown them. But now, he just says, sorry, no. And he leaves. And it's a warning that there can be a line which you, in pride and unbelief, can cross. And God says, you go that way. We've finished now. I won't be speaking to you anymore. Have you bowed to the voice of God when you've heard it speak? Because the time can come when it doesn't speak anymore. Perhaps before, the preaching used to worry you and concern you as it spoke about your soul and about judgment and about hell. But now, you're comfortable. Beware, wake up. You might be crossing that line. God might not deal with you anymore. Who are these Pharisees? Who are these people? They're the leaders. They're the religious people. They're the people who you think, surely they won't have a problem. Surely God is saving them. If anybody's saved, they're saved, aren't they? No, they're the very people that Jesus says, I am having nothing to do with them anymore. There's a teaching in these verses. You can see God making a new people. Old Israel, he cut off and he abandoned them. But this new people here is out in the desert. There's lots and lots of Gentiles in this place and some Jews, some believing Jews. But he's making a new people. God is not tied. Just because you are born somewhere, just because you have become someone, God does not have to respect who you are if you do not repent every day and believe in his Son. If we read Gospel of Matthew in chapter 16, verse 2 and 3. Jesus says, when evening comes, you say, it'll be fair weather because the sky is red. And in the morning, you say, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. As people, we understand all kinds of things, don't we? If you're trying to telephone somebody and you just can't get through, they won't pick up the phone, they won't reply to your text messages, you understand what that means. They don't want to speak to you. But if you find your phone and there's 10 missed calls and they've sent you 3 messages, you know what that means. It means they want to speak with you right now. And all these things we can interpret. Can you interpret spiritual truth? Do you know that you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of you in your place of work, somebody's died this week and he's having his burial today. Can you not read the signs that life is short, that death can come to young people quickly? Have you not read the signs of the times and fled to Jesus whilst you can? Mark chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. A great spiritual principle here. Jesus says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. How are you using what you've got spiritually? The Pharisees were given some light by Jesus, but they refused it. They shut it out. And Jesus took it away. If you don't respond to the truth God's given you, God can take it away, and he does. That's his rule. Do you want more spiritually? Do you want to grow? Do you want to make progress? Well, use what you've got. And God gives you the promise. You will be given more if you use what you've got. So, have you responded to Jesus? Are you believing and growing? Are you facing the tests, becoming stronger? Are you becoming proud? Are you becoming hard-hearted? Are you shutting the door on Jesus? It's just one question, really. Are you repenting every day? Today, are you sorry for your sins and asking Jesus to forgive them? Today, are you sorry that you've broken God's law and you're asking him to pardon you and asking that you might know the power of Jesus' blood to forgive you? Have you repented and believed in Jesus?